Welcome back to another episode of CT Real Estate Radio. I am Chaz Cook of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, joined today by Rob Wallace, also of the One Team, and Brian Skelly, mortgage guru from William Ravis Mortgage. Gentlemen, how are we doing on this fine Saturday morning?
Doing good. Doing good.
Doing excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a beautiful day. Tomorrow's not going to be that beautiful, though. I hear we got like a tropical storm coming in, but temperatures are going to soar to 60. And
that's what I heard.
Yeah, this would be perfect for you because the waves are going to be insane. You want to go for a winter surf?
We'll see. I got a few more leaves left on the ground. I still got to blow. I think this is the last time doing the leaves.
Yeah, I was just saying that to another agent downstairs. I haven't really tackled mine yet because I just want to push them all to the edge, and I'm going to have one of those guys come by with the vacuum and just suck them up so I don't have to bag them all.
You guys could put up some Christmas lights too. Every year I tell my kids, oh yeah, we'll put up the Christmas lights this year. I think we might actually do it this year. You put up lights, Rob? Are you a lights man?
I already got them up.
Colored or white?
So I like the colored.
You like the colored? Yeah. Nice.
All right. So I know that Rob went and got a real Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. So we actually had a bet. We had a bet.
You're on the hot seat right now.
Did you get your tree yet?
The tree is up.
And if you did, okay.
And it's fake, isn't it?
Real or fake?
It's fake.
Yeah.
Oh, you let us down. I think I owe Rob a cup of coffee now. Yes, we had a little gentleman's bet. So I thought you were, I put in a peer pressure on you that you were going to go get a real tree.
I took the easy way out. I got it out of the attic and it was quite convenient.
Yeah, I went over to Gear Tree Farm.
Gear Tree Farm.
Yeah, we cut our tree. And
was that one of the ones on the list from last week?
It was.
That is like the one.
Great trees there still. So if you're looking, stop on by.
And get there today if you got to go, because tomorrow's not going to be a good day to go cut down a tree in the pouring rain. So
true.
But, you know, we've got a lot to cover today because we had another exciting week for interest rates, and also mortgage refinance demand jumped up too. So, Brian, what were you seeing out there in the world?
Yeah, rates are down. I saw one article said rates this week were the lowest they've been since August. So we're at about a 4-month low. Now, keep in mind, in October, rates were the highest they've been in about 23 years. So they were at a very high point in October, but they've come back down off that a bit. Got some numbers here for you. Keep in mind, rates vary depending on your credit score and down payment. So not everybody gets the same rate, but there's a few websites we look at that post average rates, which gives you a ballpark idea if they're going up or down. The two that I usually look at, one's Mortgage News Daily. They were at 7.05 as of Friday. And Freddie Mac does their weekly survey. They were pretty close at 7.03. So just to recap, back in October, they hit 8% for a little while. Chaz asked me what the payments are.
Yeah, so let's start with it. So we are going to look at the November numbers now that we have that data in. And I will tell you that the median sales price for October was $386,000. So before we give the 94.9ers what it was for November, why don't we go ahead and break it down off of what October was?
Sure. So I took a look at the difference in the payment on an 8% rate versus a 7% rate. And I just used a $100,000 mortgage to keep the math simple. So $100,000 at 8%, $733 a month. Versus at 7%, $665 a month. So we're talking about a $68 a month difference between an 8% and a 7% rate. So if you're getting a $200,000 mortgage, you can double that. If you're getting a $400,000 mortgage, you can just multiply that times 4.
So good rule of thumb with rates being right around 7%, it's about $665 per $100,000 in buying power.
Correct. And or $66.50 for every $10,000 if you want to move that decimal place over one spot there.
I remember back in 2020 when we were talking about rates a lot, we were always saying, yeah, it's about $50 for every like 10 grand.
It was $50 for a long time.
Long time.
That was made the math real easy.
Right. Yeah, it was 48, 52, but it was always, yeah, you just said $50. And now we're looking at 66. So, I mean, not great, but not as bad as it could be if we would be staying at around 8% because we'd be at $73.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, activities picked up as the article mentioned, refinance rates are up 14%. I had two people call me about a refinance this week, which is I had to dust off some brain cells and see if I can remember how to do a refinance. It's been so long since I actually did one. One of them was a gentleman who had paid cash back. He bought a house in May. I did his pre-approval last March. He decided to pay cash. It was a very competitive time back in May. And I had followed up with him a couple times to see if he wanted to refinance. I kind of forgot about him. I don't know if he heard that rates had gone down, but he called me this week and he said, all right, let's do it. So I'm doing work on that one. And then I had another gentleman who wanted to buy an investment property. So we were looking at the investment property interest rates, which are higher than the primary residence rates.
Usually by how much? A point or two?
It depends on the down payment. But yeah, you're maybe 0.75% higher, maybe 1% higher, something like that.
Well, that's actually a really good point because they just recently changed the standard. It used to be 25% on an investment property, and now that has come down, correct? Or is that just on a three-family multifamily?
So there's a couple things with multifamily. So on primary residence multifamilies, they just lowered the down payment last month, or maybe it was October, to 5%. But they got to live there to get the 5% down. On investment properties, you can do as little as 15% down if it's a one unit. Typically, once you get up into the multifamilies, you're looking at 25% is preferred. Sometimes you can do 20.
And you said it has to be lived in?
If you have the bigger down payment, you can get it as a rental property and just rent it out. But to get the primary residence, the fine details and the paperwork you're going to sign, which I was talking about a couple people about this week, you're going to sign paperwork says you're going to move in within 60 days and you're going to live there for at least a year on a primary residence loan.
Okay. So it's all, I thought it was longer than 12 months. It's 12 months.
It's just a year. So yeah. So, you know, if you haven't bought a home yet, that's a kind of a good, life hack, as the kids are saying these days. you could kind of get into a two or three family, live there for a year, and then keep that property as an investment and then go buy a single family. That would be a
pull some equity out of that.
That would probably be a smart move financially for you.
Absolutely.
First time buyers out there.
So we've seen a steady decline in rates. Obviously this week was one of the bigger drops that we've seen since we hit that 8% mark. And it's because of the softer than expected report on jobs, right?
Well, the Friday job report was actually not good for rates. It'll be interesting to see what happens next week, but the inflation numbers have been pretty good for the last 6 weeks, and it's
all right. So we got some inflation numbers that we're going to get into here. We've got the local market data for November, and we're going to look back at previous year's Novembers for the entire CTMLS, looking at single family homes. We'll break down a couple of different counties where we're seeing a lot of activity. And then we're also going to get into when is the best day of the year to buy a home, as well as some of the one team's favorite holiday light displays, because gentlemen, tis the season. Merry, happy, jolly, all the things. And we'll be right back with CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Welcome back to CT Real Estate Radio. Chaz Cook and Rob Wallace of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, the number one team throughout the entire state of Connecticut for transactions closed all of 2022, leading the charge here in 2023 with about 3 weeks to go. And I think we're going to be able to pull it off here because we are the hardest working team in real estate. And that's why we like to partner up with our friends over at Service Station Equipment, because they are the hardest working residential tank specialist throughout the entire state. If you have any residential tanking needs, if you're looking at that oil tank and you got a little leak in it, or they came to fill it and they said, you know, you should probably have that checked out, you want to reach out to Dougie Braun, the tank man, at 1-800-801-TANK. Again, 1-800-801-TANK. Service Station Equipment, your residential tanking specialist. All right, so before we hit the break, we're about to break down the jobs report, because it seemed like it was a little bit softer, but Brian has some data here that has differently. What do you got?
Yeah, so, you know, people ask me all the time and say, well, what are rates going to do, or are they in the future? And I always say, well, it's a very difficult thing to predict. It's like trying to guess what the stock market's going to do. There's a lot of smart people that have opinions, but they're right about half the time, is the joke that I usually make. And the reason for that is, you know, we have been seeing rates trending down over the last 6 weeks, but all it takes is one or two news cycles of some data coming out to get things going back in the other direction. So this coming Tuesday is the monthly CPI report, which is the inflation numbers. So it'll be interesting. Tune in next Saturday to see what happens with the CPI on Tuesday. But this week on Friday, we got the jobs report, which is another important report, because it is a major factor in determining where inflation is going. And that's what's driving the bus right now. So last month we had 199,000 new jobs. And the interesting thing was that the average hourly wages went up significantly. It doesn't sound like a lot. It was 0.4%, which doesn't sound like much at all. But according to people that follow this stuff, that's a lot. Also, unemployment went down, which is kind of the opposite of what the Federal Reserve is hoping to happen when they're increasing rates, trying to slow down this economy, get inflation under control, and unemployment's going down. So it was down to 3.7%. So that was not good. Not good news for mortgage rates on Friday.
So for me and the rest of the 94.9ers out there, why would we want to see more people without jobs? Like, what would they, how does that affect how they look at rates and inflation?
Great question. So if you think about it, imagine you owned a company. Rob, what company should we own? Pick a company. What kind of company?
Let's own a construction company.
A construction company. All right. I like it. We're in real estate.
That's right.
All right. So imagine you own a construction company, and imagine demand is high, right? And you got a lot of new customers. What do business owners do when they have a lot of new customers? What do?
They hire.
They hire new people, right? So if you think about unemployment, it's telling you how many available workers are out there, right?
Okay.
And so if there's not a lot of available workers, what do you have to do to get new workers?
Pay more.
You gotta pay them more.
Understood.
Okay.
So, and the workers and hourly wages also went up last month. So if you're building somebody a deck and you got to pay your workers more money to build that deck, guess what? The price of the deck went up. And even the stuff that goes into the deck, you know, it's wood. You know, somebody's got to work at the lumber mill to cut the wood. Somebody's got to drive the truck to drive the wood.
Right.
And if wages are going up, that makes prices go up. And that's what inflation is, when prices go up.
Interesting. Okay. So it's not that they want to see more people unemployed. They just understand that if we don't need as many workers at any given time, that can help to cool inflation. It still seems kind of, you know, a little wishy-washy in my opinion. I would hate to see somebody without a job, especially this time of year heading into the holiday season, heading into winter. When, you know, gas bills, electric bills, everything kind of ticks up there. But if it keeps the interest rates coming down and makes housing more affordable, I can get on board with that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So we got CPI report coming out next week. We got the Fed meeting the week after that. So we will definitely be keeping close tabs on what's going on with the interest rates as well as the economy as a whole. And we will be bringing that to you guys every Saturday here on CT Real Estate Radio. But we've also got the November numbers for the CTMLS. We love doing the Numby show for you guys. I wish Byron was here, but he could not be here today because he is the numbers guy, the number of all numbers guys. but we're going to go ahead and we're going to do it in his stead. So let's start with single family homes across the entire MLS in the state of Connecticut. Now, I kind of alluded to it before that they went up from October to November, but I'm going to ask you, I'm going to put you on the hot seat here. Who wants to go, Brian or Rob? How much they go up by?
Let's say 6%.
I think you might have been peeking at the screen there. 6.2%. So in October, single family homes across the entire CTMLS were at $390,000. And in November, they topped out at $393,000.
That's the average or
that's
median?
The median?
Median, okay.
Average. This is a big number, and this is always one to kind of just keep in the back of your minds, right? So median sales price, that's across all price points throughout the entire state, only on single family homes, $393,000. Average in October was $559,753. That's a big number. Yeah. What do you think it got to in November? Up or down?
I'm going to go with up.
Up. You are right. Up 5.6% to $563,098.
Wow.
That's a look back on the rolling 12. So we're coming up on, you know, call it 575. We'll be there if we continue on this
trend. The
crazy
thing about this, too, is those people that were closing in November were probably locking in their interest rates in October when interest rates were the highest they've been in 23 years.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, now rates are going to be lower than they were in October, which is going to be more demand for housing. So,
well, and I think that's going to continue that trend with the refinancing. You know, if I bought at 8 and then 3 months later, rates are down at 6, I'm probably thinking about refinancing, bringing my payment down $150 a month. And then let's say we get back to 4.5, 5. We get back to what they call healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, now I'm doing it again. And now on that same home, we know prices are going to continue to go up until we get inventory, but I've reduced my payment and continued to build that much more equity in a very short period of time.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but just this past month, since the rates went from 8 to 7, I'm already getting a few calls for refinancing.
Absolutely.
Definitely. I would say I'm busier in December than I was in October for sure.
Yeah.
It's good to see, because it did get a little scary there. I would say September and October, you know, everyone just kind of came to a standstill. They were like, well, what's going to happen here? We're going to get 8.5. We're going to see 9. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we went from 7 to 8 in the blink of an eye.
And still prices didn't go down.
And prices still didn't go down. So
in Connecticut, at least.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're looking at this. I mean,
real estate's local. Sometimes you see these national articles that are, you know, there are some parts of the country where maybe dipped a little bit. But
right.
So that's a really good point. The state of Connecticut has actually had the lowest inventory for homes across the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
So really? We have seen our prices on an upward trend, continue on an upward trend while dealing with the least amount of inventory out of any of the 50 states in the entire country.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, to your point, Brian, you know, our median sales price on a single family home was in June, it was 380, July 380. So kind of, that was our only time we were flat. August 382, September 385. October 390, November 393. So even when rates really started to go up in August, we've still gone up $11,000 in the median sales price of a single family home in the state of Connecticut. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think the moral of the story, we're always trying to give you the data to the listeners. You know, there are a lot of folks out there that are kind of like waiting for prices to come down, I think, or even waiting for rates to come down. There's a great Dave Ramsey quote that's circulating the Instagram that people are reusing. And he's like one of the most conservative financial guys ever. He hates
debt. He believes in no debt, right?
Yeah, he's a no debt kind of guy, very conservative. And he says, you know, don't wait for rates to come down, buy the house, you know, because prices keep going up. And then if interest rates go down, you refinance
right
when the time comes.
Right. That's what we were just saying. I mean, from 8 to 6, like, you know, you're in that, or if you can even buy, if you're at 8 and maybe you could buy down a refinance to 6. Well,
they have low closing cost refinances too. Right. So, I mean, if you could get a low closing cost refinance where it only costs you, you know, $500 for the appraisal, and then, you know, the rate's not quite as good on those low closing cost refinances. But if you're anticipating you're going to refinance at 7 and then refinance again at 6 and then, you know, God willing, refinance at 5, then you can do those no closing cost refinances, you know, maybe once a year.
Like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
And if depending on your situation, as you're going through that process, maybe the first time you don't, but after that second time, you're like, okay, it's been 2 years now. I'm bringing my payment down here. I've got a lot of equity. Maybe I pull a little of that equity out and I put it back into the house to give myself even more value.
Right.
Or to your point, go become an investor and put that money into another property. Cause we know inventory is still at the bottom of the barrel, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. Months of supply, August 2, September 2. Seasonality kicked up, rates hit 8%, 2.1 for October. So not a big uptick. And then in November, we closed it out flat at 2.1 again. So the last time we have been above 2.1 months of inventory, we have to go back to March of 2022. So it has been 18 months, call it, since we have had more than 2.2 months. And then, I mean, even just a 2.5 months, we're back in 21, September of 21.
What was it pre-COVID? Like 2019.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah.
6.
Right now,
COVID changed.
I can go all the way back. I can go as far back as the MLS will take us. So pre-COVID, we'll call it January 2020, we're at 5.7 months of supply.
Yeah, wow. 6, so basically like twice as many homes available as there are now. Is that right?
Yeah,
more than twice.
Yeah, probably 65%, give or take. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. That's a more normalized, healthy market was the 6 months of supply. And now we're only down to 2.
Well, and that was the interesting point I was looking at before the show. So in January 2018, 6 months, neutral market, right? Everything was great. We actually bought our house in November of 2018, so we were part of that. We stayed at 6 months until May, and then we dropped to 5.9. Again, this is in 2019 now. So all of 2018, we were healthy. 2019, we started to see a little bit of a decline. We closed out 2019 at 5.7. And then, February 2020, 5.7. And then March hit, and it went gangbusters. 5.6, 5.4, 5.3. I mean, and we've just continued to go down. And like I said, we've been hovering between that, like 2, 2.1. Maybe we see a 2.2 coming up here in January, depending on how the winter goes.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still not seeing that uptick. because we have that supply and demand issue, right? We have all these bent up buyers that are like, I need to go. I'm going to go now, even at 8%, just to get myself into a home.
Exactly.
So anybody who's putting their house on the market and it's pricing it right and working with a good agent, their homes are still selling at rapid rates.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's shows per listing. I'll give you guys this one right before we hit the break there. So shows per listing is the number of showings a home has. I'm sorry, shows to contract is the number of showings on a home before they receive an offer. 16.
Wow.
So that's the median, right? So, and that is actually up from July, where we're at 15. So up a full day. So we're going to continue to break down the November market stats, as well as bring you the One Team Weekly Rewind when we come back on CT Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Welcome back to CT Real Estate Radio. Chaz Cook and Rob Wallace of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate here with Brian Skelly, mortgage guru from William Ravis. And if you would like to talk to Brian a little bit more about any of the topics we've been covering here on the show, or to see what your buying power is, you can reach out to him at scheduleloanappointment.com to set up a time to find out about all the programs Ravis has to offer, as well as what it would look like if you wanted to buy any type of property here in the great state of Connecticut. Well, not commercial, right?
Do residential units, residential. 1 to 4 units.
1 to 4.
I'm also licensed in Massachusetts, Maine, Rhode Vermont, Island. Rhode Island, New York, and Florida.
Wow.
So what's that look like? We have reciprocity laws with all of them?
So if you don't work for a federally chartered bank, the loan officer has to get licensed in each state that they want to do business. So I basically had to take a test and do continuing education for each state.
And
pay renewal fees each year for each state. So those are the states where
Ravis has offices.
Well, yes, that too, but more just I get phone calls, and I get enough phone calls from people interested in getting mortgages in those states that it's worth it for me to get licensed.
Okay.
In those places, you know, some of it's second homes. Like I do a lot of Vermont ski homes, mm-hmm. or a lot of people move back and forth from Connecticut and Florida all the time. Some of the agents on the One Team are licensed in Rhode Island and Connecticut, so I had to get Rhode Island. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. We just have a couple agents get their licenses there, I believe. Tina just got hers. Nikki has hers. I know Byron has his. I'm not sure if anybody. Rob, are you licensed in Rhode Island as well? So we can also do that for you 94.9ers who live up near the border there. If you want to maybe find a little beach property in Rhode Island, you can reach out to Brian Skelly at scheduleloanappointment.com, or you can reach out to Rob at rob.wallace at oneteamct.com. All right, we've got the One Team Weekly Rewind heading into the holidays here. We're going to see a little bit of a slowdown, but not really, because we still had 3 new listings, 8 under contracts, and 12 closings. We kind of flip-flopped that. Last week we had 12 under contracts and like 8 closings. Yeah. Our first new listing is 141 St. Francis Woods Road in Madison, Connecticut. This beauty hit the market for $524,900. You've got 4 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, just under 2,000 square feet. And you are nestled on a serene 1.78-acre lot in a charming cul-de-sac, offering the perfect blend of comfort and convenience. This 4-bedroom, 2.5 bath residence boasts a warm and inviting atmosphere, ensuring a delightful living experience for you and your family. We're going to be talking about this one a little bit later in the open houses, but if you would like to schedule a private showing of 141 St. Francis Woods Road in Madison, you can reach out to Emily W at oneteamct.com, and you can go check out 141 St. Francis Woods Road for $524,900 in Madison, Connecticut. Next up, we've got a condo for you. 279 Redstone Hill Road, number 61 in Bristol, Connecticut. This is a steal. Hit the market for $120,000. 1 bedroom, 1 bath, just under 750 square feet. The building was built in 1981. And you got HOAs. You ready for this, guys? HOAs at $185 a month. So,
wow.
Right?
There you go.
Not too bad, right? Yeah, they're looking at your monthly estimated payment. Now, this isn't from Brian's calculator here. It might be a little bit different because this one still has the rate at 7.3.
I'll tell you, when I'm out doing the leaves this weekend, I'd love to pay a 185 HOA fee. Right? I'll do the leaves.
$658 potentially for this 1 bedroom, 1 bath condo at 279 Redstone Hill Road, number 61 in Bristol. So if you're looking in that area, you can reach out to Amber at oneteamct.com. I mean, it's a perfect retreat featuring a cozy fireplace that adds warmth and character to the space. Sliders provide abundant natural light and access to a private outdoor area too. I mean, I've seen some condos for $350,000-$400,000, they don't even have their own little private like outdoor space, right? You just kind of open the back door and it's everybody's space.
Yeah, I think the numbers would probably look good, pretty good on a rent versus own on a unit like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, and our final new listing, 20 Lois Ave in Waterford, Connecticut, hit the market for $205,000, 3 bedrooms, 1 bath, just under 1,200 square feet. Rob, I'm going to let you take it away on this one because it is your listing.
Yes, got a brand new listing in Waterford, very close to the mall, close to all your amenities, shopping, food. It is close to the highway, but I mean, you can just hop right on and get to wherever you need to go. Has a nice little backyard, easy to maintain, great opportunity. So it's priced very, very well. So jump on it at 205 in Waterford.
And are you having an open house there? Or
we are not.
Okay.
We are not.
So if people want to set up a private showing of 20 Lois Ave in Waterford, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at rob.wallace@oneteamct.com. They can give me a call too. I mean, my number is everywhere. 860-861-0466.
Beautiful. All right. So that's going to do it for our new listings. Now on to our under contracts. 8 of those bad boys. Under contracts in New Haven, Cheshire, Brantford, Hamden, Meriden, New Haven, North Brantford, and Ledyard. Closings, 12 of those. Congratulations to all of our buyers, sellers, and investors. We had closings in Eastline, Waterford, Waterford, Middletown, Manchester. Manchester, oh, we double-ended that one. That was a Claire Cook and Riley Winfield transaction there. So congrats to them. Claire had the listing. Riley bought the buyer, and it was a smooth transaction. Closings again in Southington, West Haven, Ledyard, Middletown, Thomaston, and Wallingford. Thomaston, that one's up there. I wonder who was the lucky one who got to drive all the way up to Thomaston. All right, open houses. We've got one going on today, Saturday, December 9th, right when the show wraps. That is that new listing, 141 St. Francis Woods Road in Madison, Connecticut, going on from 12 to 2 p.m. today, Saturday, December the 9th. Tomorrow, Sunday, December the 10th, in the rain, if you want to go out and brave that, you can head over to 141 St. Francis Woods Road again from 12 to 2 p.m. So two opportunities there this weekend to check out that beautiful colonial that hit the market for $524,900, 4 bedrooms, 2.5 baths. Or if you're in the Saybrook area, you can go to 17 Fenwick Street in Old Saybrook from 12 to 2 p.m. tomorrow, Sunday, December 10th. That is that custom-built home right over near North Cove, heading over towards Fenwick, the golf course. Gorgeous house at the Zozarakis listing. And then, of course, every Sunday, we bring you an opportunity to go to the 66 High Street Residences from 12 to 2 p.m. and see all of the available units there. I believe there's 7 active on the market right now. So they range in prices from $1 million to $1.75 million. So something for everyone there. State-of-the-art construction, as Byron always says, they've broken every single record in the state of Connecticut with those condos. So congrats to the Horton Group on that. This is the final building. So those 7 opportunities are going to be it to be one of the first ones into the residences at 66 High Street. And our last open house going on tomorrow, Sunday, December 10th, 248 Monticello Drive in Brantford, Connecticut, going on from 12 to 2 p.m. I'm going to have to check that one out, Monticello Drive, because that's a great little area. That's not too far from you, right?
It's Monticello.
Monticello.
I'm the Brantford guy in the group.
Oh, here we go.
That is right near my house. Yeah. That's why I know.
Have you seen it? Have you drive by that on the way in?
Let me see the picture here. I haven't seen it yet. I'll have to drive by it on my way home.
Yeah, swing by, check that out. Or if you're out and about looking for a replacement for that fake tree that you have, you can swing by there and check out the open house from 12 to 2 p.m. tomorrow there. All right, so before we went to the break, we were chatting with you guys about the November numbers for the CTMLS. And right before we hit it, we went shows to contract. So 16 was that number that we gave you guys. We have been flat there since August. And again, what that means is how many showings before a seller receives an offer on their property. So 16 is not a lot.
No.
Especially when you're looking at a median days on market of 15, okay? Or if you want to look at the average days on market, 34. So if you have a showing every other day within a month, you should have an offer if your house is priced right, marketed right, and listed right. So exactly. That's it's not bad when, you know, we're looking at 8% interest rates.
Yeah. I mean, I remember in 2012, I would be sitting at these houses for 6 months waiting for somebody to show up and buy them. And
right.
You might get 16 showings in 8 months.
In eight months.
Now you get 16 showings in 16 days sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes in a weekend.
Yeah.
I know Ariel, she's downstairs. I was talking to her before the show. She had a beautiful multifamily that we covered here on the Rewind a few weeks back. Ended up with 10 offers on that property. I mean, this was a gorgeous three-family completely redone in Meriden. So it just knocked it out of the park. But to still see a three family get 10 offers came on about 2 weeks ago. So
yeah,
the market is moving and it's not going to slow down. But you know what has slowed down is closed sales.
Mm-hmm.
But that is because of that inventory. Closed sales are down almost 24%. We only had 26,622 closed sales for November. So we definitely need to get healthier inventory. Hopefully we're coming into that time of year, because we are coming up on the best day of the year to buy a house. When do you guys think that is? Before we go into this article, when we come back from the break, you gotta guess the month.
I'm gonna say February. My guess.
My most busiest, I'm going to say October.
October. All right. So we have a February and October. All right. We're going to let you know what the best day of the year to buy a home is when we come back on CT Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. We are back to bring home this week's episode of CT Real Estate Radio. Chaz Cook and Rob Wallace of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, your number one team per the CTMLS, not per somebody's social media handle, per the facts, data, and information provided to you here. For number of units closed 2021, 2022, and we're making a charge for 2023 with 3 weeks to go. So we will not go quietly into the storm, right? Is that how that goes? A little poetry?
Gently into the good night, I think. Isn't it a good night?
Yeah, close enough. Gently into the good night.
Is that Robert Frost?
Robert Frost. In real estate, we will not go quietly into the storm. We will come out of the gates firing in 2024, yes. And we will do so because the best day of the year to buy a home is just around the corner. And Brian, before we went to break, you said February, and Rob, you said October. You are not wrong. October is the best month. It offers the lowest premiums, but the single day, January 9th has emerged as the day with the lowest premium at 3.8%.
Interesting.
This is based off a ATTOM analysis that they do every year. They're always looking at the best week of the year, best day of the year, best month of the year. So
everybody's busy going to the gym after New Year's.
Right?
Right.
So they're not thinking about buying a home for those first 2 weeks when they pay all that money for a gym membership that they're done using by the end of January. No, but they go on to say a new Adam analysis reveals the best day of the year to buy a home based on the lowest premium above the automated valuation model, the AVM. You use that when you're looking at mortgages? Automated valuation model?
We do a little bit. Yeah, I guess not personally. I'm not paying too much attention to it, but that's kind of what runs in the background. Every once in a while you get a appraisal waiver, which means sometimes appraisal is not required.
Yep.
So it's basically just fancy, sophisticated computers running all the data and
saying the home's worth what somebody's paying for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that to me, that is a much better way to gauge it versus the opinion of one person. I think we should maybe lean into this a little bit more.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic. I mean, a lot of folks don't realize, but Fannie Mae buys all the mortgages, and which means they have all the appraisals.
Right.
So the computer system that Fannie Mae has is like Zillow on steroids.
I mean,
they actually have thousands or maybe millions of appraisals. And so they know how much these houses are worth.
We had 26,000 closings in the state of Connecticut, right? We know we have the lowest inventory, but if you went to some of the other states that have had higher, I mean, you could definitely say there's over a million a year. I mean, we're going to sell just under 4 million homes for the year. Usually we're around 4.5, 5. We're going to be about 3.8 million homes. So they have 3.8, let's say some cash purchases. Let's say about 2.5 million appraisals to look at every
quite a few.
Quite a few. And while a broader analysis of best days for buying homes shows the month of October still offers lower premiums for home buyers, January 9th emerges the day of lowest premiums at 3.8%. On average, home buyers are still paying more than market value, according to the AVM. But on January 9th, they're paying far less compared to the 14.4% premium they would pay on May 28th. ATTOM's Adams, I'm just going to call it, data is based on its analysis of over 47 million single-family home and condo sales from 2013 to 2022. So, Brian, for the 94.9ers out there, what are they talking about when they're talking about paying a less premium versus the 14.4% premium they would pay on like May 28th?
You know, I don't honestly know. It's not something I look at very often, but I would guess that they're somehow calculating, average price and then how much you're paying. I mean, it's kind of like buying a car. Like, it's kind of like MSRP, I would think.
Right.
Like, okay, they somehow calculate, this is how much a house should go for. And I mean, it's about competition, right? So if a lot of people want the house, going to pay more money, and if not a lot of people want the house, you're going to pay less than MSRPs. Yeah. And then, so there's certain times of year which there's less demand and therefore getting a better deal in layman's terms, basically.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense, especially here in New England, as we continue to talk about, we're heading into that seasonality dip of it. So January, February are our slowest times. Once we hit about that halfway point in February, we start to ramp up for the spring market, and then March, April, May typically are the busiest times.
Right.
So that I can get in alignment with that. But what if January 9th doesn't work for you? What if you're not like ready to go on January 9th?
We sell houses 365 days a year, right. Chaz.
Well, the Adam analysis also has five more days offering lower premiums for home buyers.
December, just kidding. Don't make your real estate agents work on the holidays.
On Christmas. Don't make it work on Christmas. December 4th, this one just passed a 4.4% premium above market value. And then the next three dates come in the best month to buy. So October 9th, 4.4%, October 2nd, 4.5%, and October 10th, 4.5%. And then rounding out the top 5 days outside of the January 9th, so this would be actually the sixth best day to buy a home, September 7th. Got to give that one a shout out. That is my wife Jill's birthday. So that's a good date right there. I can get her house for her birthday. Yeah. Another house. That's all we need. And then they went on to just recap the best months. Obviously, we said October 6.2, September 6.8, November 6.8, December 6.9, and August at 7.6. You know, so I've always, typically in my career, I've been in real estate almost 5 years now. The fall has always been my best season.
I was just going to ask that because this is interesting. I was going to say, which one of these months are you two most busiest? And I've been in it for about 6 years now, and the fall is my busiest as well. Mm-hmm. What about you, Brian?
This October I was not busy, but I guess that was the rates were really high this October.
Right.
I would say, are we talking all 12 months or just the ones on the sheet here?
Let's go all 12 months here, because I'm curious to see like when you feel the most like busy.
So, well, it's interesting. Sometimes I'm busy doing pre-approvals, and sometimes I'm busy actually handing in loans for processing. So generally once we get into past New Year, I would say December is a quiet month for pre-approvals, although this December has been pretty busy so far. Mm-hmm. But like once you get like a week before Christmas, it gets real quiet.
Real quiet, yeah.
Yeah, from like December 15th to the 30th is real quiet.
Right.
And then I'd say right around January 9th, the phone starts ringing again for people that want to get pre-approved. So I spend, I think last February, I did like 48 pre-approvals in February.
48.
Yeah, but wow. I think I only closed 6 loans last February.
Right.
So I was busy, but not a lot of people were buying houses. And right. A lot of those people were like gearing up to buy.
Right.
So typically April, May, June, I would say are probably my three busiest months of the year.
For closings?
For both. I mean, everybody's going nuts. Like, as soon as those flowers start blooming, it's just, you know, a lot of early mornings and late nights. And then.
So you're getting a lot of calls for pre-approvals.
Yeah, a lot of pre-approvals, and the people that I pre-approved in February are getting their offers accepted, and the new people are coming in for pre-approval. So that's second quarter is always my busiest quarter. And then once 4th of July week rolls around, that's usually a quiet week, 4th of July week, and then it kind of slows down for the summer and then starts to get busy again. I'd say September, October are busier than July and August for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I tend to, the way I look at it is like, I think about obviously 2024 coming up quickly. So from Thanksgiving to Christmas, you know, I do definitely take some time off, but I don't kind of pack it in, as they say, and continue to work. And that's where I will get like on a little bit of a hot streak, because a lot of people aren't out there working. So there's plenty of opportunities to go out and to find a deal. And a lot of buyers aren't even thinking about home shopping then because they're spending time with family or they're traveling. So that's where I've seen that. We don't have a huge family, so we don't have a ton to do. You know, we got a couple little parties here, like our one team holiday party this past week. And that was a great time at Corsair in New Haven. Had never been there.
That was excellent. That was on Thursday. That was excellent. Me and Brian, we actually had matching shirts.
We did.
Different color, but we had the same.
We did not plan that.
So they say. So
we work
they
hard
say.
And we play hard.
We work hard and we play hard. But it's interesting you mentioned 4th of July, because the Adam analysis actually does it amounted to 362 days a year, including the leap year data, with four exceptions being January 1st, July 4th, November 11th, and December 25th. Well, as Brian said, don't make us work on Christmas.
Yeah.
But speaking of December 25th, we put out a list of the one team's favorite holiday light displays here in Connecticut. And we're going to go through the top ones. And then if you would like to check it out, you can head over to our blog on our website, oneteamct.com, and see the full list. Now, I'm excited for this because my favorite holiday light display made the top list. So I guess,
are these private homes or are these like,
no, these are like these big are displays. Public, like, yeah. Public okay. displays. Yeah. So, and now I'm going to talk about mine here in a second, but number in no particular order. So just the first one on the list, the Holiday Wish at 100 Greylock Place in Stamford, Connecticut. This is a gorgeous one. This is a walking light display there. So unlike Festival of Lights and Fantasy of Lights, but Festival of Lights is the next one, 1230 Merwin's Lane in Fairfield. This is a driving one. I mean, they go so far as to not just have light displays. They've got giant inflatables. This is like,
that looks cool.
Christmas meets the Macy's Day Parade here. Wow. So might have to take a trip down to Fairfield and check that out. Yeah. I have never heard of this one. Night of Lights Hayride. This would be great. Just hang out on the hayride.
That sounds chocolate.
that's located at 2 Sawmill City Road in Shelton, Connecticut. I mean, beautiful here, though. I mean, just gorgeous.
Bundle up. Bring a thermos. Bring
that's
a thermos.
Right. Bring, yeah, a thermos with coffee in it, right?
I must be getting old. I'm complaining about the weather.
This one, I'm a big fan of this one, and I'll share the story. Fantasy of Lights, I shared it with you guys before the show. 2 Lighthouse Road in East Haven, Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah,
that's
I had the opportunity a few years back to actually run through it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so a group of us, a friend knew someone who worked there. They said, yeah, if you guys get here right when we open, you can actually like run through it and stop and take pictures. So rather than having to drive through and sit in the traffic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were out there on foot, and it actually started snowing on us. So that was a really cool experience.
That's pretty cool.
So that one will always hold a special place for me. Next up, we've got the Northern Lights Limited at 242 East Main Street in Thomaston, Connecticut. This is a train ride. So not the Polar Express train ride that's in Essex, but another train ride at the Northern Lights Limited in Thomaston, Connecticut. And then here we go. Here is mine. The Niantic Light Parade, 108 Pennsylvania Ave, Niantic, Connecticut. That is actually going on tonight. It's going to kick off just after dark, and it's great. The entire main street is just lined with people.
Is it one day? One day,
couple hours. They bring everybody up. People stop. They do like the little dance exposés. They're tossing candy. Santa, of course, comes.
I'm gonna have to stop on by and check it out.
Yeah, all the people in the community like decor out their cars. I mean, somebody turned their car into a train. You can see on this picture.
Right?
So I will be there if anybody wants to come down to Main Street, Niantic. I'll be hanging out there. You might not recognize me. I'm going to be all bundled up, but if I see you, I will say hi. All right. A couple more here. We've got the Holiday Light Spectacular at 27 Coogan Boulevard in Mystic, Connecticut.
That one I have been to because that's right around the corner for me. So.
And I think that might be this weekend as well. Might be tonight too. So, and rounding out the top light displays for the one team, the Holiday Lights at Lake Compounds. Never been there. 185 Enterprise Drive in Bristol, Connecticut. Guys, I can't even tell you the last time I went to Lake Compounds.
Me either.
Long time ago.
But I might go take a ride.
We're due.
We're due for some Christmas lights, though, not to go ride the rides.
Okay.
All right. But yeah, if you want to see the full list of the One Team's favorite holiday light displays, you can head over to our website, oneteamct.com, and check out the blog. Gentlemen, we are wrapping up here. Any final words for the 94 Niners out there?
I'm saying enjoy your weekend.
Enjoy your weekend.
It's going to be decent up until tomorrow, I guess. So.
Yeah, so make the most out of the rest of today. Go check out some of those open houses and maybe even go check out one of those light displays.
Yes.
And we will be back next week with a CPI report here on CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.